All right, we're reading from Romans chapter 4, starting at verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Verse 16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Praise God. All right, we're talking on the subject of receiving our inheritance. Now, this is in a type series that we call Possessing Our Inheritance. And we're almost at the end of this particular teaching, but it is so important for us to get this part of this teaching. Something there. And as we go into it, I want to kind of pick up from where we left off the last time. Now, we've covered quite a bit of ground in this teaching, and you're just going to have to go back and just get some of the tapes, but it has really, truly been a blessed teaching. Now, once you and I are born again, then there is an inheritance for us. But this inheritance will not be delivered to you or I beyond our level of growth. Beyond our level of growth. And so what we started doing is we started looking at the fact that you and I get born again, and when we're born as babies. And we found over in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, it says for us as newborn babes to desire the sincere milk of the word, as newborn babes. Now, this is analogous to a baby being born in the world today, then that baby is on milk. And you have to feed that baby very frequently and so forth. But now this milk is for the baby to start developing, start growing. And so now we're saying that as we have come through this stage of milk, now we're headed towards meat. And that we have to get this meat because having this meat is key for us to be able to handle the Word of God skillfully. Now, let me just show you a couple of these so that we can all be on the same page. Let's look first at 1 Peter over by the book of Revelation and chapter 2. 1 Peter, chapter 2. And let me know when you get there. All right. Okay, 1 Peter, chapter 2. And look at verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes did desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So this, newborn babes need milk so that they can grow. Now understand, just as your natural body needs natural food, the spiritual body needs spiritual food. And it's the same way. The newborn babe needs milk first and then goes to some soft kind of cereal or pablum or something and then goes on up. The same thing about you and I when we're born again. That's what we have. Newborn babe just can't digest meat, hard meat. And so that's where we are. But God never intended for us to stay on milk. Turn to Hebrews. Now, Hebrews is about two pages back. Hebrews and chapter 5. That's where Hebrews begins in chapter 13 or so. But turn back to chapter 5 in Hebrews chapter 5. And at Hebrews chapter 5, look at verse 12. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need of one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of what? Milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So what we said is that the quality of intake in our lives determines the strength of the output. So when we say intake, we're not talking about natural food now, because man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but by what? Every word. So we're seeing here that the primary thing that God uses in preparing us and growing us is the Word of God. So it can be in milk form or it can be in meat form. So what we know now is that unless we get it in meat form, that if we're just on milk, we're unskillful in the word of righteousness. We'll get some more definition of what that means for us as well. So now we're saying or seeing that what kind of word we're getting is reflected in our ability to dominate and subdue this earth. What kind of word are we getting? And I dare say a lot of the church has not been getting strong meat. And that's why I think that we haven't made the transformations in the nations and in the cities that the church really should be making. But I think those days are over now, and that God's people are seeking strong meat. And that as we do this, then we'll rise up to that level where we can dominate in this earth. Now, as we go back for just a moment, let's just look what God has said about us, because what God has said about us being made in His image and so forth and so on is a starting place for us really developing the kind of Christians or the kind of influence God wants in this world. Let's go back to first, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. All right. If you're there, say praise the Lord for me, okay? All right, look at Ephesians chapter 1. Now, this is a prayer again. Paul prayed, and he prayed this for the church at Ephesus, but it's also for the church. I pray this almost every day for us, you know, myself and the people of God here and those under this covering. Look at verse 16. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your call, of His calling, and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in the world which is to come, and has put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head of all things to the church, which is His what? Body. The fullness of Him that filleth what? All in all. Now I said that there were three categories of people. There was a Jew, there was a Gentile, and there's the church of God. We found that out. Paul taught it to the Corinthian church. Three categories: Jew, Gentile, and the church of God. Now in this, in the church, we're finding out that the church is the body of Christ. So we're saying that there is a line here, a lineage. And when you mention seeds, as many, you're talking about the Jewish natural line from Abraham. But when you say seed as one, you're talking about Christ. Well, you, once you got born again, are in Christ. So we're talking about you. So there is this spiritual entity that has been called out, called the church. Now, we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, found in Ephesians chapter 1. Here it is, right here. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. That's when you were chosen. You weren't chosen when you got born again 2 years ago, 8 years ago, whenever. You were chosen before the foundation of the world. Now, God chose you. Chosen here means picked out. So you were picked out. He picked you out. He chose David. He went and anointed David. He chose Joseph out of all his brothers, picked him out. He chose you, not so that you could just stay out, but that you could be a forerunner to the others who are coming out. So you can go back and help get them out. All right. Now, in this, he said, all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I told you the church, in the Greek, the word ekklesia, which means called out once. And here, the church is the body of Christ. Now, it says up here that verse 21, that Christ is seated now at the right hand of far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also which is in the world to come, and hath put all things under his what? Feet, underline feet. Now, we said that the feet are in the body, and the head is attached to the body. So the feet are in the body, which is attached to the head. So now all things are put under our feet, because we are the body. And what we read in Hebrews is that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. How long is he going to sit there? Somebody help me. Until his enemies be made his footstool. Where are the feet? In the body. So we are going to put Satan under feet so that Jesus can get up. Got it? And now come back and be joined with the body. You see? Now, over in, just write this down. Over in Luke, he said in chapter 9 of Luke in verse 58, he said, and Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. So notice, what he's waiting on now is the body, because the body is what he's got to have for the fullness. And the head can't get up and be attached to a little baby body. No, he's going to be attached to a full grown body. So the head has no place right now to lay. But as soon as we grow up, the head can come and be fixed to the body, caught up in the air, and we'll be with him forever. Now, so as we look at this, in Ephesians chapter 2, look what it says in verse 1. And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that a spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, For his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you what? Say, and has raised us up together and what? Made us sit together where? in heavenly places in Christ. So what did he do with you? He raised you up. Now understand, the moment he got raised up, he then raised you right up. You got what I'm saying? Whatever he got, you got. Because you are a joint heir with him. So you got joint seating with him. Come on now. And he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, so you go. In other words, he was now delegating his power to the church so that the church can do the things in the earth that need to be done so that he can come back and join with the church. Are you following what I'm saying? Is this making sense to you? All right. So now, in this, how do we grow up? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, remember what I said primarily by the Word of God is how you're going to be matured, developed. So we've got to give you the Word of God. I've got to give you something that can cause you to grow. In other words, what I'm saying is sometimes perhaps people are going to places where they're not getting any food to really grow on. So they're getting some leftovers and something, you know, and chitlin' and so forth, and they're getting some things, and they're really not getting anything that's of value to them so that they can grow. Say amen to this. Now, understand, once you get saved, you don't need preaching. Once you get born again, you need what? You need teaching. Our psalm said, come on now. Now, understand, we come from an entertainment kind of a culture out here. So people are looking to be entertained. And when you're not entertaining, they just fall asleep. So what you got to do is say, wait a minute, I got to discipline my flesh. Because what I need to do is learn something. I need to find out who I am in him, what I can do, what I have, and how to get it. And that's going to come through teaching. Okay, so look at verse 8 now of Ephesians chapter 4. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Now, who is he talking about right here? He's talking about Jesus Christ, because Jesus descended into the earth, paid the price for your sins and mine, and then he ascended up on high. Verse 10, he that descendeth is the same also that ascendeth up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. Now, these are the gifts that were given by Jesus to the church. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. Why? For the work of the ministry. Why? For the edifying of the body of Christ. So what is he going to do? Perfect means, it means to mature. It means to develop. So we're going to get understanding. We're going to get maturity and development as a body, because we start out as newborn babes. So now we got to develop. Why? Because if we don't develop, we're not going to be able to use a word. If we're not going to be able to use a word, we're not going to be able to take dominion. We're not going to be able to take dominion, we're not going to have to put Satan on the foot. If Satan's not going to get on the foot, then Jesus is going to have to sit there. So I'm just saying, why don't we get Jesus back? Why don't we go on up, get Satan on the foot, you know, so that Jesus can come back and this thing will be all over. Say amen to that. All right. Now, in this is now really taking us back to where Adam was in the garden before the fall. This is what he's perfecting us. Because now he's got to teach us royalty again. That was lost. So what we said is that when you and I get born again, we are born again as a race of kings. We are actually royalty. He said over in Revelation, he is the king of who? Kings. And he's the Lord of who? Lords. Okay, so two things. One, as we come in this, now what we have to learn is how to live like this new people that we are. Let's go over to Galatians, please. And Galatians, next door now. Don't be flipping wild. It's next door. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Have you got Galatians chapter 4? Now I say that the heir, That's you and I, one who has inherited something, a future owner of something. The heir, as long as he's a child, he differs nothing from a servant, though he be the Lord of all. Now, I want to read that out of the Amplified. I'm going to go on down, but let me read that first, at first verse. He said, now what I mean is that as long as the inheritor, the heir, is a child and underage, he does not differ from a slave, although he is the master of all the estate. Now, this heir doesn't differ from a child, even though he's the master of everything. Now, when it says, he doesn't differ from a servant, though he be the Lord of all. Now, it says servant there, but the direct translation is slave. That the heir, as long as he's a child, differs nothing from a slave. Now, I don't know whether you know anything about this, the culture of slavery, but a slave has to have an overseer, has to have a master, have to have somebody always watching them, because the assumption is they're needing always to have some form of control to have them to do something. Now, in your life, your body in the Greek is soma, it means slave. And your body was supposed to be a slave to your mind. In other words, your mind's supposed to think it and your body's supposed to do it. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, in this, he is saying a servant or a slave. And if you remember anything about what Jesus taught about it, he said a servant does not know what his master is doing, but a son does. You got what I'm saying? So you'll find that people who are really babies and won't grow is these people have a hard time of getting a word from God. In other words, their communication with the Spirit is very difficult because for the main thing, they're controlled still by their bodies. They're letting their bodies tell them where they are with God. Oh, you come on now. Stay with me here. Praise God. We're gonna get this thing. We're gonna fix you up today. Say praise the Lord. Okay? Now, so what he said here is we said there were three types of people. Oh, I got so many places I want to go. Okay. Let's just finish reading this first. Verse 2, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive what? The adoption as sons. Now that word adoption there we showed you, is that a word adoption in the Greek has to do with a son that is already in the family. It does not have to do with a son that's outside the family. It's a son that's in the family, but the full responsibilities of an adult has not been passed on to that son. Why? Because they're unable really to responsibly handle it yet. So what has to happen is they're under tutors until the time appointed. In other words, they now have a tutor or a teacher that we call in the Greek a pedagogue. And as that pedagogue comes in, that job is to take that baby that is, can't even understand who they are yet, and start teaching them who they are according to that family. So they're going to teach them royalty. We mentioned Prince Harry and Prince William. They were under tutors. They were learning how to act as kings, how to act as royalty, how to talk, how to be graceful, how to so forth and so on. Now, I'm just saying that any family in history in the royal family was doing this. But say, I'm in the royal family. No, you didn't say it like you meant it. Put some meat and potatoes on it. I'm in the royal family. You're in the royal family of God, and the Holy Spirit is the tutor that's going to tutor you to Christ. He's going to tutor you as to how to carry yourself in the family. Before you were in another family called the devil's family, and you knew how to act in there, acting just like the devil. But now you're in another family. Now you're in the family that you don't have to curse anybody out anymore. Oh, come on now. You're in the family now You don't have to smoke no reefer anymore. Come on now. You're in a family now, come on, that you don't have to lie, cheat, steal anymore. Because now you're being groomed as a royal family and you know how to act. You carry yourself with grace. Come on now. You don't belittle yourself. You don't do things that undermine your self-esteem. You don't do those things. No, you carry yourself right. Come on. This is the right bunch I'm talking to. This is the royal family I'm talking to, isn't it? That's what we are, folks. We're a royalty. We came here to expose a whole new dynasty to the world. Now, so in that, he's got a pedagogue. So that pedagogue teaches him how to act, how to sit, how to talk, how to eat, how everything. And now when it's time to be introduced, now that usually about 14 years old or so, they take off that robe of the child and now put on this robe of full rights and full responsibilities in the family as a son, mature offspring. Got it? And so this new sonship now is what you saw over there in the book of Luke, where it had the prodigal son. He went on a journey and lost all his money, and then he came back. And when he came back, he then apologized to his father. He said, "Forgive me, I've sinned against heaven before you. I'm not worthy to be called your son." The father said, "Bring the best robe and put it on him." You remember that? So he put on this robe. Now the other brother was out in the field. And what happened to him? He got envious and jealous of this boy being forgiven because he had done a lot of things wrong, but he came back to the father and repented and got all the father had. Come on now. I'm just saying, this is a picture of you and me. You see, Lord have mercy. We have done all kinds of stuff, but when we come back to the Father, the inheritance is still right there, and it's all ours. Praise God. Now, let me do something here. So, if we look at this whole idea of adoption and coming back, now let's go to 1 Corinthians, please, and 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Glory to God. So, what you want to do is you want to develop superiority consciousness. Superiority consciousness. See, you want to have the mindset of a ruler. And you want that to flow through you just like a second nature. You don't have to get in front of a demon and work something up. You when you walk in the room, when Jesus walked, the demon of the madman of Gadara, he ran up to Jesus and bowed down and begged him, don't throw him out of that country. Jesus hadn't said anything to him yet. You follow what I'm saying? I'm saying that same anointing, that same sonship, you and I can walk in. Lord have mercy. All right, so as we're building in this superiority consciousness, okay, so you have three categories. You have a natural man. A natural man is a person who is unsaved. That is a person who's never known Christ. That's the person that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, that's what it talks about. That person basically, that natural person is basically a person that's motivated by demonic control. In other words, demonic influence. A next person is a carnal person or a baby. That's a person who basically had been born again, but that person has never developed or grown and remain under the control of their circumstances and under their feelings. And you see people, their feelings get hurt. Oh, you hurt my feelings, so forth and so on. Let me tell you something. Let me just say something. Suppose the Apostle Paul went somewhere. And they talk about him. Paul, you know, so forth. I mean, call him all kind of names. Oh, you hurt my feelings. I mean, I'm just saying, hey, wait a minute. If they call you something and that's not you, don't answer. All right. Just don't answer. You. Why are you going to answer? See, what you got to do is get past that, because if your flesh is still in control and you keep feeding it, You keep strengthening it. Then what, you got to watch it, because it's time now for you to pray. And when you pray, you got to believe you receive when you pray. Now, he didn't say feel like you receive, because if you just felt like you received, then you'll be all right as a baby. But you got to believe you receive. That means you have just gone beyond your eyes, ears, nose, mouth, anything in the natural. You are now out in a zone that your flesh don't even know what is happening. And you got to believe it's happened the moment you pray it. Now, that's what leaves most Christians off. And that's why most of them stayed in the wilderness. Because in Egypt is the natural man. In the wilderness is the carnal man. But in Canaan, oh Lord Jesus, get it out. In Canaan land is the spiritual man. I don't need nothing but the word of God to tell me whether this worked or not. If God said it, that's it. So I'm not even concerned about it. Now, what is happening is that we've got to get over there. I got to grow you up. I got to make it so you don't get offended the moment something didn't go down your way, or I didn't say certain things, or whatever have you. Why? That's where the church has been. And because the church could be offended like that, the enemy could resist them. Say resist them. Resist them. He resists people. He resists. Paul said this, I would have been there sooner, but Satan hindered me. Notice what he said. I would have been there sooner, but Satan hindered me. Let me ask you a question. Oh, Lord. I better read a scripture first. Can I read it and ask you this question? Turn to Ephesians chapter 2, please. Ephesians chapter 2. You hurt my feelings. Well, hey, get over it. Now, just watch this now, because this is where people have been controlled by the God of this world. Satan is controlling them by what they see, what they feel, and so forth. Hey, let me tell you something. If you go in Canaan, it is a place of massive deception. Massive. Massive. But see, if you're walking in a superiority consciousness, folks, witchcraft, all that kind of stuff won't even affect you. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Put your hand at Ephesians chapter 2. Just put your hand there and hush and come on back here. Numbers chapter 23. Come on, quick. Praise God. We've got to go. I got to go out of town. Numbers chapter 23. Let me know when you get there. Woo-wee. Well, what time is it now? What? It ain't 11:30. What time is it over here? Okay. No, she, I love her, praise the Lord. She just wants some more words, she's right here, yeah. Amen. She's calling things that be not as though they were. Okay, look at Numbers chapter 23. Have you got it? Look at verse 23. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob. Neither is there any what? Divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? Let me tell you this. Their witchcraft is below you. It is a work of the flesh, and any work of the flesh can be controlled by a person who's operating in the spirit. Amen to that. They can't hex you, can't vex you, can't curse you. Come on now. But you got to walk with that mindset, see? All right, look what it said in Ephesians. What did I say? Chapter 2. Look at verse 10. Have you got verse 10? It says, for we are his what? Workmanship. Created where? In Christ Jesus. Unto what kind of works? Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I'd like to read that scripture out of the Amplified. Here's what it says. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life, somebody say good life, which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. You see, God has already predestined your future. He has already prearranged your assignment. He has already made clear your paths. Now, what we got to do is walk in that. And the one way you're going to walk in it is grow up so you can hear God and he tell you which way to go. But Satan resists us. And when Jesus was on the boat going to the other side, he was following the Spirit of God. But Satan comes up with a storm. And what was the storm designed to do? It was designed to kill them. It was designed to keep them from getting to the other side. And I'm telling you, there may be an other side in your life. I'm saying Satan has resisted people. Let me tell you something. He tried to resist me on this mall. I remember a time that this mall that you're sitting in right now, this auditorium, it was half built. What happened? The money dried up. What happened? They took all the construction people left. All of them thing and they start laughing at me. What did I do? I stayed in faith. I'm calling things that be not as though they were. I took the whole congregation from the other side of the mall. I brought them down here. This thing was cold. It had no ceiling or whatever. And we marched through it. It wasn't nothing but cinder blocks. And we marched through it because every place the sole of my foot shall tread. Yep. See? And see, when he starts resisting you, don't faint. Don't faint, because he's just resisting you. But if you don't faint, you're gonna win. You're gonna get to your wealthy place. Now, I'm saying, how many of you maybe God has called to start businesses? Now, the enemy has been resisting you. He has, how many been ministry? How many, how about marriages? He got somebody he's trying to put together in your life. Come on. Oh, I want to see the hands on that. Okay, but the enemy has been resisting people. You better hear what I'm saying now. He has been working in cleverly in the spirit, trying to keep your harvest, trying to keep your promises from you. But we're moving into a new time. We're moving back to Isaiah 61. We're moving into a time that anything that is resisting you, God's going to deal with it personally. He's going to take care of it because he said, vengeance is mine. You see, when Israel was supposed to come out of Egypt, Pharaoh was resisting them. Every time Moses went, he said, God said, let my people go. Pharaoh said, well, who is God? But he resisted him. But something happened, and they moved into a set time. A set time is not a season. It is a moment in time where something's got to happen. It is not. Satan has been resisting some of you for years, but I got news for you. Here it comes, the set time. Here comes the vengeance.
vengeance of the Lord, and I will recompense, saith God. Everything that Satan has stolen from you, God is about to recompense.
That enemy has been resisting you in marriage. He's been resisting you in raising your family. He's been resisting you in starting your business. He's been resisting you in getting your ministry going. He's been resisting you in getting your harvest off of your seed. But I've got some good news for you, because you did not faint. Now God and the vengeance of the Lord is about to manifest. Take your seats. This is a set time of the favor of the Lord. It makes no difference. It might have been healing you're trying to get. Satan has been resisting you. It might be some joy in your household. Satan has been resisting you. Well, I'm here to tell you now, I want you to come on up and sit there with Jesus, because God is about to work on your behalf, and everything that's been resisting you must now bow the knee and give you up. Sit down. It's a set time. He resisted it. Jesus came into the earth. The enemy tried to destroy him. Even Herod, because he feared they tricked him, he sent out some people to kill all the babies 2 years old and under. But the Bible says soon Herod died. Nothing gonna be able to resist you anymore, because it's a set time of God's favor. That was a word. I said that was a word right there. Oh, yeah. Now, no longer are you moved by what somebody says about you. No longer are you going to be moved by it look like it's not happening. This is your time. Yeah. Don't look at your background. Don't look at your past. Just look to the future. God who called you, he's faithful to do it. You didn't call yourself, he called you. Oh yeah, he's been resisting you. Been resisting you getting your inheritance. But he can't do it anymore. Because the prophet has spoken.
Amen. Amen.
Has spoken.
Amen.
spoken. Bible says over in Acts chapter 27, Paul was on a boat going to Rome. This big storm came up, Hurricane Euroclydon. Bible says all hope was gone. But Paul went and told him, says, hey, be of good cheer. Watch this. An angel came to me. He told me nobody's life is going to be lost. I'm here to tell you right now, when God is sending you somewhere, not even your Euroclydon can keep you from it. Now turn to this one more scripture. Turn to 2 Corinthians. In chapter 4, please. Yes, sir, Doc. This is our time, man. This is our time. And if we just don't faint, Satan will not get the victory out of it. Because we are seated with him far above all principality and power and dominion and every name that can be named. Now I want you to have a superiority consciousness. Paul tells us to not to think more highly than we ought to think. Notice he didn't say don't think highly. He said just don't think. Look at 2 Corinthians. I got to get out of here. Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians. And look at verse 16. For which cause we what? Say, I faint not. And though our outward man perish, our inward man is renewed, come on, day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Keep going. While we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Let me just give you one more word. The power that you wield when you speak is far beyond anything than you can naturally perceive. One man said it like this. He said it's just like going to one of those 24-hour teller machines at the bank and think you just did a transaction and transferred just a certain amount of money. He said, only to find out that the transaction that you did, you just transferred $17 billion from one nation to another and left the nation that you transferred it from bankrupt. I think we're about to use our mouth and transfer the wealth of the wicked into the kingdom of God. Come on! Give the Lord a praise. That's all we have tonight. Hey, hey! All right, if you just give me 1 minute, please, before you start walking out. If you're here and God spoke to your heart about being born again, this is the place.